It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Ruthie C. with the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. Happy Tuesday to you, and welcome to the Garden Line with Mr. Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ruthie. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you today?
Doing great. What a beautiful day. It's just a great fall day. It really is.
It is gorgeous. This is my favorite type of weather. I like when it's cold. Unpopular opinion living in Florida, but I like when it gets chilly like this. It's kind of exciting. And boy, I know my dog loves it too. She's running around all
really
energized.
Energy, right?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I really enjoy this too. I'm still a summer guy. I like the summertime, but this is a nice break. It really is.
Yes, and so exciting to just be having some seasonal changes, talking about what that means for our lawns, what it means for our gardens. I know after we spoke last week, I got some really pretty impatiens to pot on my front porch, and because we had talked about it, I added in a couple snapdragons too.
There you go. It's time for the fall plants. Really, it's kind of the whole season has changed, and what we're doing is different. And what we may want to talk about today, if we get to it, if we have some time, is maybe some Christmas topics insofar as Christmas plants, which ones are popular for not only the cooler weather, but for Christmas.
Yes.
So maybe we can get into some of that.
Oh, I love that.
But what we probably ought to do first is kind of get into little nuts and bolts here of the fall. And I never forget, I was watching Alan on Channel 3, and I guess his comment, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, may not be exact. He said, there's absolutely no rain in sight. It's just not going to rain for a while. And that's very typical of this time of year. So what do we do about that? Insofar as your lawns are concerned, I say we go back at least to our twice a week for 30 minutes for your lawns. I think that's really important. And, of course, what we've had the last couple of days, matter of fact, we've got it today, we've got some cooler weather, very dry weather, and some wind. And when you have that combination, a lot of your container plants are going to dry out so fast. So those new impatiens and snapdragons that you planted, I would water them at least every other day.
Oh, that's good advice. I wondered that too about the wind. Is that drying everything out as much as I think it is? Sounds like yes.
Right. And, of course, a lot of that depends, quite frankly, on the soil you use. Their potting soil, some of your better potting soils, for lack of a better word, your more expensive potting soils, are going to hold moisture a little bit better. But some of your less expensive ones are going to dry out very, very fast. You just kind of use the old rule of thumb. You know, just go out there and kind of stick your finger in the soil. If it's bone dry, water it.
Probably need some water. Yep.
It does probably need some water. So in any event, that's what we probably ought to do. Now, on your house plants, and that's really interesting, is that this time of year, so many people are planning on moving many of the, say, the palms and the Diffenbachia and things like that they enjoy on their patio, getting ready to move them inside. And so the watering situation inside is very different from outside. You need to, in some respects, reduce your water outside, reduce your fertilization inside, if you will. And once again, just measure it. Just put your finger in that soil, and if it's just really dry, water it. But you can let that soil inside dry for about an inch down, and that kind of will help your houseplants adjust to the inside. Also, if you can, and we've said this a couple of weeks now, if you can, and it's a lot to this, take your tropicals, if they're outside, and gradually move them inside. Take them from where they are outside in a lot of sun, put them on your patio where they get not too much sun, then move them inside to a sunny window. So many of these plants we take from the full sun, then put them in our cozy den next to the fireplace, and we wonder why they don't do. it's a shock. It's just a shock of light, a lack of light. And so we need to kind of adjust to them if we can.
To ease them in. Ease them in.
Also, just a little aside insofar as what to do if you're going to move those plants inside. Check for insects. A good idea is to buy a little aerosol, a little pump sprayer of insecticidal soap. It is really good. It'll take care of some of the little bugs that might be on your houseplants because you don't want to carry those inside. So that's a good idea to do that also.
I like that. We have a question coming in, Mike. A little bit of a different topic, but I think a good one. This person would like to know your thoughts on what is the best way to get rid of a mole.
You know, it's so funny that that question came in so early in our show because I've got it on my list to talk about.
Do you really?
I do, because my neighbor, I haven't found any in my yard, but my neighbor says they're driving him crazy. They're just driving him crazy. So there are a couple things that one can do. Number one, I think the proper name for the mole is probably pocket gopher. That's just another name for it. They are digging machines. And generally, in my opinion, they are really after the insects in your lawn and not the grass itself. Now, they will eat some roots and all of that, but it's mainly the insects they're after. So what you need to do, if you're going to try to control them, and they're very difficult, there's no easy answer to this question, is to put out some insecticide. And I like to do it kind of on the perimeter of your yard because they're probably coming from other places. Because if you live near a forested area, a lot of trees, natural area, if you will, or if there's a lot of construction in your neighborhood, that will drive those pocket gophers, moles, if you will, into your yard. So what do? Well, you put out that insecticide along the perimeter, and like my neighbor, he says, you know the best thing I'm using to control these moles? My cat. Buy a cat.
Good old-fashioned food chain.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But it's really funny. Because it is such a hard thing to control, a lot of old wives' tales come out about what to do. One of the things that some people have said over the years is find where the run is and put some juicy fruit gum into the run. Now, I'm not a big believer in that, but they say you can't touch it. You've got to wear gloves and kind of wad it up and put it down in the hole. And the other one, which is really a little crazy, is take a lock of hair. So I guess if you go get your hair cut, you need to collect some of that hair and put that in the run where that mole is doing damage. I don't subscribe to all of that, but it is fun to talk about because it is a problem, this time of year especially.
How interesting. I've never heard either of those. I am learning some new wives' tales. So if you have experience with the juicy fruit gum
please
or
call
lock
us.
Of hair,
call
please.
Us.
Or if we want to know.
Or if you have another one.
That's right, yeah.
If anybody listening this morning has a way to control these moles in their yard, we would love to hear about it. Back in the day when I was doing a lot of television, a lot of blab television, this was probably the most asked question. We had an open line talk show format. That was the most, the most asked question was, what do I do about moles? And people would call these crazy things fun to talk about, but they can do some damage. If nothing else, go out and kind of, if you see where the run is, just kind of pat it down with your feet and increase the water in that area. Because even this time of year when it's cool, the roots of the grass are growing. And so if you will pat it down and water it, that will help that grass kind of recover from that damage of that mole burrowing it up as he chases those bugs through your yard.
That makes great sense. So thank you so much for that question. And again, if you some solutions, let us know here on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. You can call or text. We're going to take one quick break and we'll be right back with more of the Garden Line. I'm Ruthie C. speaking with Mr. Mike Wiggins. So please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Hey, Mom, I'm here to drive you to your doctor's appointment.
Oh, we finished early.
What do you mean?
With my Humana Medicare Advantage plan, telehealth appointments with my doctor are covered.
Wow, that's great.
Well, that's human care for you. Humana wants its members to get the care they need, even at home.
Humana offers new ways to focus on your health at home. Because Humana isn't just healthcare, it's human care. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO, PPO, and PFFS organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you're not feeling well, traffic should be the least of your worries. Baptist Healthcare offers locations throughout Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, providing convenient access to 24-hour emergency rooms in Pensacola, Jay, and Gulf Breeze. Baptist Urgent Care opens 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and located at Airport and 9 Mile Medical Parks. And many physician locations offer telehealth. Now open a new combination urgent care and 24/7 emergency room in Navarre. Visit ebaptisthealthcare.org.
It's happening. Publishers Clearing House is awarding a $2,500,000 mega prize in just days. Enter now at pch.com, and your family could soon be celebrating the win of a lifetime. Don't miss your last chance to win the $2,500,000 mega prize. Go to pch.com before it's too late. That's pch.com. Better hurry. Enter at pch.com now. Entries due 11/29. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Elite Services Quality Clean is proud to serve the Pensacola area for the past 30 years. We've cleaned your carpets, scrubbed your tile and grout, and even cleaned your drapes. A thorough cleaning means a healthy living environment. I know that's what you expect for your family because that is what I expect for mine. I'm David Nixon, owner of Elite Services Quality Clean. Make an appointment for a free quote at elitequalityclean.com or call 453-5544. Remember, it's not clean until it's Elite Services Quality Clean.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 presents our 7th annual Pensacola Christmas Concert, featuring favorite holiday music performed by local choirs, orchestras, singers, and musicians. If you are a local performer or music group, we'd like to include you. Submissions must be broadcast quality and in digital format sent to us by Friday, December 4th. For more information, visit our website at newsradio923.com.
This is where you hear news first.
The state's added more than 10,000 new COVID-19 cases.
Live, local, all day.
That number on Sunday, the highest daily increase since late July. 10,105 new cases reported yesterday, along with 30 new coronavirus deaths. That brings the total in the state to 17,734.
The whole country is doing very badly right now.
News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. I'm joined by Mr. Mike Wiggins for The Garden Line this morning, which is brought to you by Warrington Hardware and Marine and Barnes Feed Store, and we are so very grateful to them for our show. And we were talking just before the break about getting rid of moles, and if you have a tip or a trick or an old wives' tale, we'd love to hear about it.
No doubt. Let us know. Ruthie, we had another call about stumps.
Yes, we want to know about the best way to get rid of tree roots and also and stumps as well. So that is probably a very timely question with people. I know they've had to take out some trees maybe after the storm, and probably also really like right ways and wrong ways to go about this.
There's no question. And, of course, the first part of that question is how do you get rid of tree roots? I'm afraid I don't really have a solution other than manual labor to get that out. And that's tough. But if it's just the tree roots and the tree is gone, say from the hurricane, you'll probably get some natural deterioration there. However, a lot of people obviously have had to cut down trees because of the storm and are left with tree stumps. And, of course, there's various ways to do that to get rid of those stumps. One, of course, the easy one is to call somebody to come grind them down below level. If you do grind down a stump, don't use the grindings, if you will, the old stump grindings, and put that in a flower bed as a mulch. It really isn't good, especially if it's pine, because it's just, sometimes it'll just sap the energy out of a plant. So you can save it and let it go through some aging, but don't immediately take it and put it in your flower beds. Just don't do that. The other way you can do that stump is there are products on the market, one of which, appropriately named, Stump Remover, which is a granular product. And what one does, you get a drill, and you drill into the stump kind of at 45-degree angles headed down, if you will, kind of drill down on your stump, various holes, and pour that stuff in there, and that will gradually help rot that stump out. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, probably not going to happen for a long time, but it will do that. Also, if you look on the label of products called Brush Killer, and we've talked about Brush Killer before, for example, if you want to kill weeds along a fence line and you don't care if the soil is sterilized, Brush Killer will work. Well, on that label, on many of those Brush Killer products, it has a stump remover portion of the label where you can apply it to the top of that stump and it won't resprout. I don't think it's really going to help with the rotting of the stump, but it won't resprout. So various things one can do if you've got tree roots or stumps left over from the hurricane. But you're right, Ruthie, a very timely subject.
And then just in that time, Mike, we got another question, switching gears a little bit to grass. This person says, what grass will eventually take the other over in a lawn between the Toro Zoysia and Centipede? I guess they're laying some sod.
Right. Well, what will probably happen is they're going to kind of grow together. But keep in mind, I've always believed that if you're trying to promote one grass over the other, the one that you mow higher is the one that's probably going to stay with you, is going to be stronger. Good example is St. Augustine and Zoysia. Well, if you mow St. Augustine at a solid 4 inches and Zoysia, you know, which is a lower, if you had just had Zoysia, it'd be 2 inches. The one that's going to grow a little higher is probably the one that's going to prevail. The thing about it is there's no chemical one can use because, quite frankly, Zoysia, Centipede, St. Augustine, for the most part, take the same fertilizer, especially in the spring and in the fall. And so the fertilizer is going to make them both grow. There are a lot of lawns in Pensacola that are combination lawns, combination Zoysia, Centipede, St. Augustine. And there's not much one can do about it except the one you like, mow it that height. I think that's the best advice I could give.
I like that. I had never thought about having both. I guess I would have thought you take out one before you put in another, but you can sort of layer.
Well, I know if you're putting in new sod, brand new sod, I would clear the area and put in the one that you want. I wouldn't put patchwork here. In other words, if you're St. Augustine has had a fungus problem, and you have lost some of it, I wouldn't put in Zoysia in a patch in my good St. Augustine lawn. Stick to one grass, if you will. That'd be the best way to do it.
I gotcha. Okay. And then mow at the height of the one that you want to prevail. I like that word.
Right. Exactly. And also, for example, now, if you want St. Augustine to prevail, you're going to put some lime on it. Okay. That's going to help you. Centipede, you're not, because that lime is going to raise that pH into St. Augustine, which allows it to take in the nutrients that you put on it, kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of unlocks the system. Centipede likes the acid. It's a native grass. It likes it. So you don't put any lime. So things like that you can do to promote one over the other.
Gotcha. How about for Zoysia? Is there anything in particular that it really likes?
I think it likes a little bit of not quite the as much lime as you would put, say, on St. Augustine, but it's good for Zoysia too. But the fertilizer is about the same. That 16%, nice 16.08 we use in the spring, the 10.5, 14 we use in the fall, and Zoysia and St. Augustine like a little summer kick, if you will, with some nitrogen. Centipede, not so much. They like a little iron. So there are subtle differences there, but sometimes you're just going to have to live with two grasses at once. And the nice thing about it, they're all green.
Hey, that is very true.
So there you go.
That's a great point.
So as you drive by your house, nobody but you probably is going to be able to tell the difference.
Very true. You're listening to The Garden Line here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. speaking with Mr. Mike Wiggins. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to answer more of your questions. So please stay with us.
With everything you've been through this year, could your family use a little getaway in the sand and the sun? Casa de Luna has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms, covering over 5,000 square feet in the house, plus another 1,600 square feet of wraparound covered porches. The social distancing won't be a problem in this house. The main living area at Casa de Luna is on the sand level, while bedrooms and bathrooms are spread between sand level and upstairs. There's also a big gaming porch waiting for you with a pool table, foosball, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. When you're ready for some exercise, bicycles are even provided for you at Casa de Luna. And when you get back from your ride, take a dip in the swimming pool, which can be heated during cooler weather. Or just sit and enjoy the beautiful water views. It's convenient, too, just minutes away from just about anywhere you might want to go on Pensacola Beach. Find out more by calling Casa de Luna owner Tim at 791-6400. That's 791-6400. 791-6400.
For over 43 years, Air Design has treated our customers like our neighbors, because that's what you are. And like good neighbors, we're there for you when you need us. Sure, we can't walk your dog or water your plants, but when your heating, cooling, or plumbing breaks down, we can help. We'll do the job right the first time and be honest with you about the cost. We don't work on commission, and after-hours emergency calls are no extra charge.
Call 202-COOL, night or day. Air Design Systems is on the way.
At Bray Jewelers at Christmas is like static electricity. It's a warm family atmosphere. You can come in, pick your Christmas gifts, have some hot cocoa.
Jewelry makes people smile. It's something that you'll cherish forever and hand down to your family as the years go on.
For Christmas, I'm sure it gets a little tricky, especially for the lady who has everything. But trust me, when you come to Bray, we're going to be able to find something that she does not have and that she's going to love.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Ombudsman Program, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Do you or someone you know live in a nursing home or other long-term care setting? If so, this message is for you. The Florida Ombudsman Program helps with concerns about the health, safety, welfare, and rights of long-term care residents. Call 1-888-831-0404 or visit us at ombudsman.myflorida.com. Services are free and confidential.
Welcome back to The Garden Line here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Mr. Mike Wiggins. And Mike, real quick before we check in for the news, we had a question about sagos with scale on the bottom half. Do we have to cut off the fronds to treat them with that ultrafine oil, and will cutting off the damage to the palms help?
What I would do is this. It depends on, I think, how bad the infestation of the scale is. If it's not too bad, I wouldn't cut it off, the fronds off. I would go ahead and spray with the ultra fine oil. And, of course, a lot of times when people spray, they just don't get underneath the leaves. You've got to get underneath those fronds, if you will, to control the scale. Because that ultra fine oil, it's very simple. All it does is smother that scale, and it falls off. But if it's a real bad infestation, I don't think it would bother the sago at all to cut it off and spray the rest of it. So I think you could go either way. I think it really depends on how bad the infestation is.
Gotcha. All right. So that's that ultra fine oil. Got to get up underneath.
There you go. There you go.
And we are going to be right back with more of The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. But first, we're going to check in with Mark for the news. What is going on, Mark?
Good morning. A grieving father pushing for a change in state law. The story coming up after Fox News. It's 9:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 63. Mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. A local father is still grieving the loss of his son, pushing for some changes in state law. Gary Coleman tells Channel 3 his son Devin died a few weeks ago. After mixing Xanax with alcohol, a woman with him at the time didn't call 911, instead using her phone to capture video and post it to social media.
Had just that one phone call been made to 911, there's a very good chance my son would still be alive today.
Coleman is working to introduce Devin's law, which would require witnesses in similar situations to report it. The Port of Pensacola will soon be featured on a national TV series, World's Greatest, highlighting the port as one of the premier and most historic deepwater ports in the world. The World's Greatest episode featuring the Port of Pensacola airs Monday, November 23rd, and again Monday, December 7th. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We'll be seeing a little bit of a warm-up today, though. Temperatures eventually getting into the 70s. Nice and sunny skies with that high near 73. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
63 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 61 in Milton at 9:33. Our next news at 10 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with your Money Now. Blue chips are sharply lower after yesterday's rally. The Dow Industrials giving back 308 at 29,642. The Nasdaq's down 45. The S&P 500 down 27. Universal Pictures and Cinemark have agreed to a deal that allows theatrical releases to transition into viewer homes more quickly. The agreement is similar in structure to a recent deal Universal struck with AMC Theaters, in which Universal was granted the option of placing new movies on digital rental platforms just 17 days after they had been released in theaters. Old agreements generally range from 75 to 90 days. Home Depot reported quarterly earnings that beat estimates as consumers continued to focus on home improvement during the pandemic, and sales surged 24% a year ago. The company says its temporary employee compensation program that it implemented during the pandemic will become permanent wage increases, which will result in $1 billion of additional compensation expenses. Home Depot shares down 2.5%. That's your Money Now.
And now, a step back at the news archives with the late John Appleyard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
November the 17th, 1886, from Pensacola City headquarters above Martin's Market on South Palafox Street, this is 1620 Radio News, and now also on FM 92.3. Well, there is fascinating news here today. Moments ago, our mayor, Mr. A.L. Avery, announced that city commissioners have inked a contract with the E.E. Saunders Fishing Company to take charge of disposing of ballast, which arrives regularly on incoming commercial vessels. Representing the company today was Captain Thomas Wells, and it was he who filled in the details of this plan for We Media. In the plan, the Saunders firm will engage a crew whose duties will be to work with each incoming sailing vessel to remove the rock ballast and then to place the pieces of the rock in the bay at the water's edge. When the rock inserts reach water level, the mass will be covered first with clay and then with sand. In other words, Wells said, we are going to witness the addition of new land extending right out into the bay. This is John Appleyard for News Radio 1620.
Now, more of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Mr. Mike Wiggins for The Garden Line.
Ruthie, generally people ask me the questions. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who was that? That was great music.
It's
who was that?
Good. That is Leon Bridges. He's a current
Leon
artist.
Bridges.
I am
okay.
a big fan. Yes, Davis is giving us a thumbs up too. Davis is also a fan.
I don't know Leon Bridges. That is great stuff.
He is great. I recommend everyone check him out. I had a chance to see him over at the Soul Kitchen a few years ago.
Oh,
in
did
Mobile.
You really?
Yes, really enjoyable. Good. To me, good old-fashioned music. It's
yeah.
fun and it's jazzy. And you can dance to it. And that song is called Flowers, so I always think it's perfect for the garden line.
I'm going to look it up. That is great. Leon, I got to write that down. Leon Bridges.
Leon Bridges. Okay. He is good. Good music. And we're excited that you are listening to the garden line here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. We want to give another shout out to our sponsors of the show, which is Warrington Hardware Marine and also Barnes Feed Store. And we're so grateful because we love the garden line and getting to speak with you, our listeners, and answer your questions. And you've had some good ones today.
Oh, it has been. It's been good stuff for this time of year.
Yes.
No,
very
no doubt
timely.
About it. We appreciate the calls. Still waiting for that call for the person that has the answer to taking care of moles, pocket gophers, if you will.
Pocket gophers.
We'll use the word mole. I think that makes more sense. In your yard. I would love to hear if you have your own solution. That would be great.
Well, and we do have a call coming in from Keith in Gulf Breeze. Good morning, Keith. Welcome to the Garden Line with Mr. Mike Wiggins.
Good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Keith.
So, Mike, I have a solution that for the moles that has worked well for me.
Great.
And I've tried everything. I've tried the poison peanuts, the chewing gum, the gummy worms from the big box stores. None of that stuff works.
I never heard of the
gummy worms. What you need to do is you need to go online and go to Amazon and look for a product called Nomol, N-O-M-O-L. And what they are spring-loaded traps. You get two of them in a box, and you get a couple of sticks so you can mark them where you put them in the yard. And then head over to YouTube and type in No Mole there, and you can watch an instructional video. But basically what you do, Mike, is you find the mound where the mole has pushed the dirt up.
Right.
Take
right.
a trowel and dig that dirt out, and then look for the tunnels that go in opposite directions from the mound.
Okay.
And you'll take the handle end of that trowel, bore out that hole a little bit because you want to widen it up, put those spring-loaded traps in there, and then put the dirt back on there and make sure that there's no light that can get through, and wait about 2 or 3 days, and what will happen is that mole will come back through that tunnel. Now, you don't want to stomp the tunnels down like most people do. The mole will come back through that tunnel. He'll feel that little O-ring spring, and he'll try to push through that, and that clamp will clamp down on his rear quarters and trap him, and that's how you get rid of him. And then what you do is you take it out and you leave the mole in there so his relatives can smell his rotten, dead corpse, and they'll all run to the neighbor's yard.
I hear you. That is very interesting. But let me ask you this question. Over the years, I have seen some traps like that, which, quite frankly, were almost primitive. They had spears that the mole would come through and it would literally spear him. I never really recommended those because I thought they were extremely dangerous, especially for children. How does this no-mole trap,
yeah.
is it underground so it's not a danger yeah. to kids and animals and such
yeah.
as that?
Yeah, you actually insert it into the tunnel.
Okay, all right, I'm with you.
So it's underground. And write this down. It's called no-mole, N-O. M-O-L, and then do yourself a Google search on that. And it is the only thing that I have found to be effective against moles.
Let me tell you what, I've already written it down.
Most people think that the moles are attracted to mole crickets, which they are, but their number one food source, which most people don't realize, are earthworms. So if you have a lot of earthworms in your backyard, obviously, you have a healthy backyard, but that's what they're eating.
Isn't that interesting?
That's their favorite.
Isn't that interesting? No mole. We're going to look that up. Hey, Keith, this is great stuff. I'm adding that to my list of mole solutions. Well, I'm really putting it at the top of my list because it sounds like the one thing that works. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Take care.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. No question. Good stuff. That's fun.
Yes, thank you so much, Keith, for calling in. And I know, I have to say, I like the chewing gum. I was hoping that one would work a little bit more than this. This sounds like a very permanent solution, but I did not know that about the earthworms. That's good to know.
It is, and earthworms are good. If you have a lawn, you have a lot of earthworms, you've got a rich soil, and that's always good. But if that's what they're after, go get that no mole.
No mole.
No mole.
I guess it's a apt name for the product.
We'll do a little advertising. No mole, no more. We have to, some kind of slogan. Anyway, that is fun. Ruthie, we did have a text with a picture.
Yes.
Of a lawn that is having some problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. It's a lawn that has some weeds in it, and it looks, quite frankly, I wish I could see it in person, that the weeds have kind of taken over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that's left. Just a couple of comments on the picture. I wish all our audience could see this picture. It's a sandy lawn, no question, with sporadic weeds scattered all in it. Two things. One, it looks like a broadleaf weed. So if it's a broadleaf weed, what I would use is a Trimec or carfenazone or weed-free zone, some of those what I call selective weed control for broadleaf weeds, and use it right now. Temperatures are perfect to use that. And spray it. Do not water on top of it. Let it stay on there for a couple of days, and then water. However, looking at this picture, it looks like most of this lawn is weeds. So what one could do if you really wanted to do radical surgery is spray it with a non-selective weed control, something that kills everything, and resod. Now, that's easy for me to say, and it's kind of hard for the person who texts us to do. It's a lot of work. But I don't see a lot of hope because the weeds look like they've kind of taken over and there's not much grass left. So I think the second solution of kind of redoing the whole thing on paper is the right way to go. But if you really just want to get rid of those weeds, I think a selective broadleaf weed killer sprayed right now would be the thing to do. And let me just say this, because I always say it every time we talk about these weed killers. Please read all the instructions, dress appropriately, long sleeve shirt, that type of thing, long pants. Don't try to overdo it. Don't, just because it's a tablespoon per gallon, 2 tablespoons per gallon is not what you want to do. So pay attention to instructions. But I think on this particular picture, this is all we're looking at here, that's my advice.
I think that's good. And, you know, like you said, perfect time of year if you are looking to do that first solution, or maybe that you just want to get those ones back out and keep. You know, I grew up with a sandy front yard. Like, maybe that's all you just want, those weeds out, and keep it natural, like
sure.
We've talked about.
Sure.
And so a couple different options there. I like that. Real quick, Mike, we have another question. Or did you want to say one more thing on
that? No. Well, just real quick.
Yeah.
If you do have a good lawn, mm-hmm. and weed control is still on your mind, this is the time, the middle of November, to put your pre-emergence on there, atrazine, dimension, their various pre-emergence weed controls. Good time of the year to do it right now.
Love that. That's so good. And in fact, we'll stop there for a minute and then we'll come back with a question about roses. So please stay with us. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the Garden Line here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When all it takes is zero down payment, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment, it all adds up to the Volkswagen Sign Then Drive event going on now at Pete Bohr Imports. With zero out of pocket, you can sign then drive a 2020 Jetta S sedan for $242 per month, the Passat SE sedan for $298 per month, the Tiguan S VW 7-seater crossover for $296 per month, and the 2020 Atlas Cross Sport S for $387 per month. Or take advantage of 0% for 72-month financing on remaining 2020 models. It's the Sign Then Drive event, where absolutely zero down payment, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment lets you drive a new Volkswagen home today from Pete Bohr Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Monthly payments for a 36-month lease and 12,000 annual miles with qualifying credit to PCI. 0% financing for 72 months excludes GTI, which is available at zero for 60 months. See dealer for complete details.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions,
Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move with the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
I'm Escambia County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer, Amber Southard. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for ECSO News on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. Your Escambia County Sheriff's Office will be discussing lots of topics, and we'd love for you to call in with questions or join us in our conversation. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fridays are always fun and furry on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. Tune in every Friday at 10:30 for Frisky Friday as we spotlight animals that are looking for their forever home. As always, we're joined in studio by members of numerous local animal shelters, like the Escambia County Animal Shelter, the Pensacola Humane Society, and the Santa Rosa County Animal Services. That's every Friday at 10:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. And on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3.
Thank you to our Pensacola Arts who are finding new ways to entertain us, in person or virtually online. We're local and we live here too. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From policy debates to political fights, Chris Wallace anchors Fox News Sunday. Every Sunday at noon on Pensacola's Fox News station. Most trusted, most watched, and in Pensacola, most heard. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to the Pensacola News, Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. speaking with Mr. Mike Wiggins. This is The Garden Line, and we are so excited to be answering some questions and bringing some mole solutions and all kinds of stuff today. We had a question right before the break, Mike, about roses and the time to transplant 10-foot tall rose trees. When is the best time to do it? How should it be done?
You know, transplanting a rose, you can probably go to that date we always center on to prune roses back and do all of that work. And that, of course, is, we all know, Valentine's Day in February. However, if you've got a large rose tree, a 10-foot, that's a big one, too. I bet it's beautiful. This is not true, but it's kind of the way I word it. The coldest, nastiest day of the year is probably the time to do it, because it just makes for less of a plant shock. I wouldn't do it now, because as we know, we got some cool weather now, but we could pop back into the 80s real fast. I wouldn't do it now. I really would wait till after the first of the year, January, February, before I transplanted it.
I never knew that about roses on Valentine's Day, taking care of them. I've never really grown roses all that much, but we've got some knockout ones in the backyard now that
we'll see that I'll have to remember. The knockout roses, Ruthie, have totally redesigned the rose business. I mean, we used to sell tea roses and floribundas and grandifloras, and beautiful, but they were high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great rose society in Pensacola that they just center in on roses. But the knockout roses are kind of bulletproof. If you look at some of the literature, you don't even need to prune them. You don't need to fertilize them, which I don't. You don't have to worry about disease. I don't believe that. But that's how it's advertised.
Sure.
But it is an easier rose to grow than your traditional roses, like your long-stem tea roses, which are beautiful. But they can be a challenge. You get mildew. You get all kind of insects, black spot, that type of thing. So on this big rose, I would wait till a good cold winter day to do it.
And that sounds beautiful. If you have a picture you like to send, I was thinking, Mike, people might not realize, but we will be podcasting our episodes of The Garden Line going forward. So if you missed it or you wanted to refer back, we're going to have that recorded for you. And we do have a way to include photos in our show notes. So if you have pictures, please text them in and we can show you what we're talking about, what we're seeing on the other side of these questions here. And we also want to say thank you so much to Catherine, because she sent a photo of her mother-in-law tongue, which has over 10 blooms on it. And I have to be honest, I didn't realize that those plants got blooms.
Well, it's really funny. If someone had called and said, how can I make my mother-in-law tongue bloom? I would have said, they don't bloom.
They don't.
If they do, it's kind of a sporadic, little unattractive bloom. But, boy, Catherine, that is great. I would love to see a picture of that also. So, Catherine, if you can do that, we would love to see a picture. And I always like to say this, Ruthie, always thank Catherine. She is one of the greatest listeners we've ever had. She always contributes fun things to the show. And Catherine, we appreciate it. Love to see a picture of that.
Yeah, no absolutely. Doubt. And we were talking a little bit in the break, too, about the other names for mother-in-law's tongue. I've heard it called a snake plant.
That's right. That's a snake plant. Okay.
And it also looks like a Sansevieria. I might be butchering that.
No, that sounds right. Okay.
Sansevieria trifasciata.
Very good.
How about that?
I'll tell you, that's perfect.
Perfect. I love that. And so it looks like, really beautiful sunshine and these blooms. I've just never gotten one to bloom before, but if anyone could do it, I'm not surprised it's Catherine. So we'll make sure to include these photos too when we put up the podcast.
Exactly. I love that plant. It's just distinctive. It's different. I have for years had one on my patio that I've enjoyed. Last winter, I didn't move it. It died. It froze. And I have not. I replaced it with something else. I think this next spring, I think I'm going to try to find me a nice 3-gallon mother-in-law tongue, snake plant, Sansevieria, whatever we want to call it.
Write that one.
Yeah, exactly. In any event, and do it again, because I really enjoyed it. It's just distinctive. It's got the long, not literally leaves, if you will, but the long growth. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Good plant.
And from my friends who are not necessarily gifted when it comes to gardening, I've heard they've had good luck with a snake plant or mother-in-law's tongue. So if you're looking to just get started, this
might
be.
Except for freezing weather.
Other than that, don't leave it outside.
They will do great. They really will do great. And they'll grow in the house. You're going to need to put it in a kind of a sunny window.
Mm-hmm.
But, they'll do great in the house. So, Catherine, thanks. That's fun.
Thank you so much, Catherine. And we were talking a little bit, too, Mike, about the perfect time. This fall is the time for the pre-emergence emergence on the lawn. And you have any other tips for this time of year?
Well, there are a couple things. One is, do not, and boy, how many times have we preached this sermon? We probably didn't need to quit. Don't scalp that lawn. I think I told you I was in a garden center the other day and was just reading to see what the instructions were on ryegrass. I mean, I know how to do it here. I was wondering what the bag said, and the bag said, mow your lawn lower before you put out ryegrass.
Mm.
Do not do that. That really can be a long-term problem for the lawn. But if you're going to put out ryegrass, now is a great time. If you watch the Masters, as I did on television, and saw how gorgeous the fairways looked and the greens looked in Augusta, that's what ryegrass can do for you. That's the advantage. It just looks beautiful. The disadvantage is you still have to keep your lawnmower going all year long. So a lot of people say, no, I have no interest in mowing the lawn in the wintertime. Too many other things going on, and so we don't put out ryegrass. But remember the caution that we've always talked about on the Garden Line. Do not get that ryegrass in your flower bed, because if you do, it is going to be a mess. Getting it out is just going to be a big problem. Just get it on the lawn. Matter of fact, I always tell people, if you're going to do your lawn, put ryegrass on your lawn, do next to the flower beds by hand.
Mm.
That's really, really important. And then water, because ryegrass will come up anywhere. I think we said last show, it would come up on this asphalt parking
That's
lot
right.
out here if you put enough water on it. So just be careful where you get it, because it is going to germinate as long as we have this cooler weather and we get water on it. That's the key.
So it will grow. If you plant it, it will grow.
It will grow. Absolutely. No question whatsoever. One other little tip right now. With the weather we've had, the warmer weather we've had going into, here we are in, mid-November, there is fungus in St. Augustine. I've seen it in the neighborhood. I've seen a little bit in my yard. And so you may want to consider treating that. Now, this time of year, some people say, well, I'm just going to let the grass go dormant, and I'll deal with everything next spring. Well, that's one way to do it. But if you really want to be on target, go by the book, a little fungicide on it might not be a bad idea at all.
That's it. Now's the time. We're going to take one more quick break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Attention hunters, it's time to get better results for your food plots, and Barnes Feed Store has what you need to help make your hunting season a success. If you have soil sample results, bring it in and they'll point you in the right direction. Get your bags of pre-mixed seeds or single seeds, deer protein, rice bran, deer candy, and your headquarters for Pennington Rackmaster. Get your food plots right this year. Get over to Barnes Feed Store, a proud Pensacola tradition for over 65 years, in Ensley and Old Palafox, and in Molina on Highway 29.
Did you know that the recent increase in COVID-19 cases is due to younger people like me testing positive? Although we may have little to no symptoms, we too might be in danger, and we might even spread COVID-19 without knowing. I wear my mask to protect my grandparents and first responders like Escambia County firefighters, EMTs, and others around me. Please wear your mask when physical distancing is not possible. And remember, mask up, Escambia! Check out myescambia.com for more COVID-19 information.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Keep climbing.
It's intercepted. Picked off of the 12. He will go down. He signs the promised land. Touchdown, FSU.
This is your home for FSU football.
15 to the 10. 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown to Mario Terry. He is scary. Intercepted. Picked off of the 33-yard line.
Knowles win. Knowles win.
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long right here on your home for Florida State football.
Saturday morning at 11, FSU Clemson on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
There's no combination of words I could put. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C, speaking with Mr. Mike Wiggins of The Garden Line, and we're talking with some timely fall tips. And Mike, what else do we need to know right now today?
Well, we've only got a minute, so let's just talk about one fall plant that is absolutely gorgeous right now, and that's muley grass. Muley grass is my kind of plant. It doesn't grow too high. Doesn't need much fertilizer, has no pests, and no diseases.
Wow,
it's
that
a great plant.
Pretty great.
But if you go down, I always recommend people drive down Summit Boulevard and look to the left by the airport, and it's blooming. Beautiful purple blooms, gives you color in your yard. It really is bulletproof. You really would enjoy it. So look at it, consider it. It loves the sun, but other than that, it's automatic.
And that's M-U-H-L-Y, is that right?
M-U-H-L-Y.
Muley
grass. It comes in white also. It's called White Cloud.
White
How about
cloud.
That?
Well, I love that. And thank you so much, Mr. Wiggins, for The Garden Line.